593, the Tuesday night before Passover. Other teachings to the apostles. 7th March 1945.
Today you have heard Gentiles and Judeans speak, and you have seen how the former bowed to me, and the latter nearly hit me. You, Peter, almost came to blows when you saw rams and bull calves driven on purpose against me to make me fall on the ground among excrement. You, Simon, although you are so wise, opened your mouth to insult the most rancorous members of the Sanhedrin, who rudely bumped into me saying, "Move aside, you demon," while the messengers of God pass. You, Judas, my cousin, and you, John, my favorite, shouted and protected me quickly, one from being run over by getting hold of the bridle of the horse, the other by standing in front of me, and receiving the impact of the shaft directed at me when, with a sneer, Sadok drove his heavy cart against me, deliberately, at great speed. I thank you for your love, that makes you rise against the offenders of the defenseless one. But you will see much worse offenses, and more cruel actions. Where this moon is once more smiling in the sky for the second time after this evening, offenses, at present verbal, or just outlined if material, will become concrete, thicker than the blossoms, which are now on fruit trees, and which are becoming more and more numerous, in their haste to blossom. You have seen, and you were surprised at a barren fig tree, and a whole apple orchard without blossoms. The fig tree, like Israel, refused to restore the Son of Man, and it died in its sin. The apple orchard, like the Gentiles, is awaiting the hour I mentioned today, to blossom and cancel the last remembrance of human ferocity with the kindness of flowers scattered on the head, and under the feet of the conqueror.
"Which hour, Master?" asks Matthew. "You have spoken so much and of so many things today. I cannot remember exactly, and I should like to remember everything. Perhaps the hour of Christ's return? Here as well you spoke of branches that become tender and put forth leaves."
"No," exclaims Thomas. "The Master is speaking as if this conspiracy awaiting him is imminent. So, how can everything that he says will precede his return happen in a short time? Wars, destructions, slavery, persecutions, the gospel preached all over the world, desolation of abomination in the house of God, and then earthquakes, plagues, false prophets, signs in the sun and stars. Eh, it will take ages to do all that. The owner of that apple orchard would be in a nice mess if his orchard had to wait all that time to blossom."
"Then he would not eat his apples anymore, because I say that it would be the end of the world,"
comments Bartholomew.
"To bring about the end of the world, only one thought of God would be necessary, and everything would turn into nothingness. So even that apple orchard might not have to wait long. But, as I said, it will happen. And therefore there will be ages between this one and that one. That is the final triumph and the return of the Christ,"
explains Jesus.
"So, which hour?"
"Oh, I know which hour,"
says John, weeping.
"I know the hour, and it will be after your death and resurrection."
And John embraces Jesus tightly in his arms.
"And are you weeping, if he is going to rise again?"
says Judas Iscariot mockingly.
"I am weeping, because he must die first. Don't mock at me, you demon. I know, and I cannot think of that hour."
"Master, he called me a demon. He has sinned against his companion."
"Judas, are you sure you do not deserve it? Then do not take offense at his fault. I also have been called a demon, and I shall be called so again."
"But you said that he who insults his brother is guilty."
"Silence. In the presence of death let these hateful accusations, discussions and lies finish at long last. Do not upset who is dying."
"Forgive me, Jesus,"
whispers John.
"I felt something turn in me at the sound of his laughter, and I could not refrain myself."
Jesus and John are embraced, chest to chest, and John weeps on his heart.
"Do not weep. I understand you. Let me speak."
But John does not detach himself from Jesus, not even when he sits down on the large protruding root. He remains with one arm behind his back and one round his chest, and his head on his shoulder, and he weeps noiselessly. Only his tears shine in the moonbeam as they fall on Jesus's purple garment, and they look like rubies, drops of pale blood struck by light.
Today you have heard Judeans and Gentiles speak, so you must not be surprised if I say word of justice has always come from my mouth, and it shall not be revoked. If I say, always with Isaiah, speaking of the Gentiles who will come to me, after I have been raised from the ground, before me every knee shall bend, by me, and in me, every tongue shall swear. And you will not doubt either, after seeing the ways of the Hebrews, that it is easy to say, without fear of being wrong, that all those who rage against me shall be led to me, ashamed. My father did not make me his servant, only to revive the tribes of Jacob, to convert what is left of Israel to remnants, but he gave me as light of the nations, that I may be the savior for all the earth. That is why, in these 33 years of exile from heaven, and from my father's bosom, I have continued to grow in grace and wisdom with God and with men, reaching the perfect age, and in these last 3 years, after burning my soul and my mind with the fire of love and tempering them with the ice of penance, I made my mouth a sharp sword. The Holy Father, who is yours and mine, has so far protected me in the shade of his hand, because it was not yet the hour of the expiation. Now he will let me go. The chosen arrow, the arrow of his divine quiver, after wounding in order to cure, after wounding men to open a breach in their hearts for the word and the light of God, is now going fast and unfailingly, to wound the second person, the expiator, the obedient one for all the disobedient Adam. And like a warrior who has been hit, I shall fall, saying with regard to too many people, in vain have I fatigued for no reason, without achieving anything. I have worn out my strength for nothing. No. No, for the eternal Lord who never does anything without a purpose. Be off, Satan, who want me to give way to dejection and try to make me disobedient. You came at the beginning of my ministry and you have come at its end. Well, here, I am rising.
And he really stands up.
Ready to fight. I will compete with you. And, I swear it to myself, I will defeat you. It is not pride to say so. It is the truth. The Son of Man will be defeated in his flesh by man, the miserable worm, that bites and poisons from his putrid filth. But the Son of God, the second person of the inexpressible Trinity, will not be defeated by Satan. You are hatred. And you are powerful in your hating, and in your tempting. But there will be with me a strength that escapes you, because you cannot reach it, neither can you block it. The love is with me. I am aware of the unknown torture awaiting me. Not the one, that I will mention to you tomorrow, so that you may know that nothing of what was done, or stirred up for me or around me, nothing of what was forming in your hearts, was unknown to me, but the other torture. The one that is given to the Son of Man, not by means of lances and clubs, or by means of derision and blows, but by God himself, and only few people will know how cruel it will be, and even fewer will accept it as possible. But in that torture, in which two will be the main torturers, God with his absence and you, demon, with your presence, the victim will have the love with him. The love living in the victim, the main strength of his resistance to the trial, and the love in the spiritual consoler, who is already flapping his golden wings, full of anxiety to descend, and wipe my perspiration, and gathers all the tears of the angels in the heavenly chalice, and melts in it the honey of the names of my redeemed, and of those who love me, to mitigate with that potion the great thirst of the tortured one and his immeasurable bitterness. And you, demon, shall be defeated. One day, coming out of a possessed man, you said to me, I will wait to defeat you, when you are a rag of bleeding flesh. But I reply to you, you shall not have me. I will win. My fatigue was a holy one, my case is in the hands of my Father. He defends the work of his Son, and will not allow my spirit to deflect. Father, I say to you now, for that dreadful hour into your hands I commit my spirit. John, do not leave me. You, all of you, go. May the peace of the Lord, be where Satan is not a guest. Goodbye.
It all ends.